Well, we ask the Lord to meet with us this morning and bless our little time together. I feel like I have some really good news for us today. Amen. While we were in Mexico, seemed like one day the Lord started talking to us and gave us this little thought. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And we want to work with a subject matter that sometimes by many, I believe, is totally misunderstood. But the Lord has truth for us to discern out of His scriptures that can set us free. And in Romans 8 and 2, Romans is one of the most misunderstood books in the Bible, I believe. We find a lot of doctrine that Peter, I believe it was, said of Paul, some of his writings were hard to be understood, and people that are unstable and they twist them, wrest them to their own destruction. And do you know, this morning I want to try to just read the simple scriptures and understand a little bit of what Paul was talking about. I know that Peter, I believe it was talking about the end times that Paul had been writing about. But this here says, "For this is 8 and 2 of Romans, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free." I want to stop right there for a moment. There's a law that Christ put in place of the Spirit of life that makes us free from something. Okay? Paul wrote this, and he knew what he was saying. He knew what he was writing. And he wrote this in conjunction, in the middle of this letter to the Romans, right after the seventh chapter ended. And he wasn't writing chapters then, he was just writing a letter. And he continued on and he said, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." I want us to get a hold of that this morning. Folks, this is good news for us. There's nothing worse than being a slave to sin, a servant to doing things that we're ashamed of, that we wish we didn't have to do. And many times the world says you're going to be a sinner always. Folks, the scriptures tell us very clearly, very plainly, with great hope. It says the law of the Spirit of life, and I'm going to quote this several times, "In Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Now I want to go back and start reading a little bit in the 7th chapter and the 14th verse of Romans. And Paul writes here in the first person as if it is him talking of his own experience now. And we have to understand what Paul was doing. I think it'll be plain and clear if we understand what Paul meant. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Do you think that Paul was saying, "I am carnal"? Do you think that he was actually speaking of his present day experience? Do you remember in Isaiah, when Isaiah said, this is chapter 53, and there's plenty of other examples for it. And speaking of Jesus, he spoke as if it was already past. He said, "He is despised and rejected of men." Now, he is despised and rejected of men. 700 years or so before Christ, and here he is speaking as if it's happening now. And he's speaking of Christ. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Now that's talking about something that's already happened. He was despised. And yet the prophet Isaiah is prophesying this is what's going to happen. There are a lot of places in the scriptures that speak like this. And it says here, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Was actually put in by the translators. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's all as if he's talking about something that's already happened. But you know, to the Lord, what's happened in the past, present, and future is all open to him. He has no problem talking about the future as if it was the past, does he? And you know, when Paul speaks here, folks, I hope this morning that we can understand the scriptures, because there's great hope when we do. If we think that Paul was talking about himself being carnal and sold under sin, then we don't understand his writing, because it's very clear when we read the whole of it. And I'm going to read it so that we can understand it. He says here, because folks, when we're carnal, when we're sold under sin and we can't stop and help it, and we just have to sin, folks, we're in bondage. We are a servant to the devil. And I'll tell you, there's nothing pretty about that. And he says here, for that which I do, I allow not, and for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. He's talking about somebody here that doesn't have the ability to keep himself from doing the wrong things and doesn't have the ability to do the right things. He said, what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And you know what? There's millions of so-called Christians this morning that says, yeah, that's the way it is. I just do it, and I know I'm not supposed to. It's a sin, and I know it. And they believe that. You know what? When we believe the truth, folks, it sets us free. And we want to look at the truth that will set a man free. There is great hope when we believe and know and understand the truth of things. He says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 20, now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That don't line up with other scriptures if he's talking about his present day experience, does it? And so let's understand what Paul himself wrote, okay? We're not trying to put something to it. Let's understand what Paul wrote. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now what's this? I find then a law. A law. What is a law anyway? It's something that happens, doesn't it? It's something that happens. A law is something that puts something in place. There's a law of gravity, isn't there? What goes up must come down, right? And it will, won't it? And he says then, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know what he says? Oh, who can deliver a man from this kind of life? You know, Paul lived a life of sin before he got saved. Did you know that? He was a good man in many ways, but I'll tell you what, in many ways he wasn't so good. He had a lot of the saints brought to trial, didn't he? He had a lot of God's people. He was fighting against Christ with everything he had. Everything he had, he was putting into it, the fight against the Lord. Folks, listen, we fight against the Lord too in ourself. We've got to wake up and realize that there is a spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death that this is talking about. And so Paul said here at the end, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then he reverts back to what he was talking about. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There he was under the law of sin. The law of sin and the law of death. And he couldn't get free from it. Folks, there's only one thing that'll set you free from that. And that's the grace and truth and life that is in Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you this morning, he will set you free. And I want to give us hope today that wherever we are and whatever our struggles are, I want to tell you, the life that is in Jesus Christ will set you free. Do you know when Jesus told people about the goodness of God and the good things of God, when the apostles told people about the healing that was in Christ, you know if they didn't believe it, it didn't avail them anything? It didn't. But if they believed it, and they began to search for it, and they asked for prayer, and they wanted that thing, God gave it to them, didn't he? Do you know that this here is talking about, I've been asked some lately about some of these things, some of these kind of issues, and so I want to address them. Folks, the Lord wants us to know that yes, in the flesh, in the carnal mind, in the carnal nature that we were born with, how can we be free? With the mind we serve the Lord, with the flesh there's no power. But I want to tell you, there is life in Christ Jesus. Oh, do we have to be a slave to our passions of sin and lust? Or can we put them to death? And can we live? Listen to what Paul went on to say. Now, we've just read here this little writing of what he says of his past experience or someone else's experience. Whatever he was writing of, we know is true to people, isn't it? It is true to people. So they serve the Lord. And with the mind, they serve the Lord. And they give themselves. But in the flesh, they sin. I want to tell you, folks, there's something so much better than that today. And God wants us to have it. And it goes on to say in chapter 8 and 1, he's just continuing writing here. Paul didn't stop writing and then somebody else start. He just continued to write. And so when he got done with that, talking about the struggles, talking about how that when the law came, the commandment, it brought death to him. Why did the commandment bring death? Why in his old life or why in somebody else's life of sin does the commandment bring death? Because it brings condemnation on what they're doing. They realize I'm doing wrong, but they have no power to fix it. Well, I want to tell you, we must believe that there is life in Christ Jesus. And Paul goes on to say here, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They don't walk after the flesh anymore. Their life is different. They've been saved. They've been cleaned. They've been converted. They've been born again. They've been born of the Spirit instead of the flesh. And it goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Do you know that there is life in Christ Jesus? In sin, there is death, there is shame, there is disgrace, there is a humbling, there is a wish for something better. Do you know what there is in life? There is strength, there is vitality, there is something that God gives. And folks, God gives it. Now we've got to have faith and search for that until we have it too. Because it's there for us. And if it's there for us, shall we not have it? For what the law could not do. Listen to this. I'm going to read this one more time. I know I've read it over and over, but just to put more emphasis on it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, let's search for that until we know that we have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus down in our heart. Hath made me free from the law of sin. That law that is upon every creature. It's made me free from the law of sin and death. All those things that brings all the trouble on mankind. He said that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. For what the law could not do, verse 3, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see, the law couldn't do that. It could only work with the flesh. It didn't have grace. It didn't have truth. It didn't have life in the law. The law brought knowledge. It brought condemnation because people weren't there. And he says here, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the likeness, he sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He became human, didn't he? He took on a human body. God sending his own son in the likeness of human flesh and for sin. He sent him for the very reason to take care of the sin problem. For sin condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, up to that time, sacrifice an animal. Sacrifice something to God. Surely he'll overlook it. He'll forgive. But he said that he sent his son in the same flesh that we are in. And for sin condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you know that the righteousness of the law cannot be fulfilled except through the Spirit of the Lord? But it can be, can't it? Thank the Lord this morning. So I want us to just take hope this morning. Folks, if you have fought and fallen and failed, and you've tried, and you've wanted to serve the Lord, I just want to tell you, the Lord wants you to make it this morning. The Lord wants you to have the grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ that converts the soul and gives us grace and power. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. Only comes through the life that is in Jesus Christ. Doesn't come by turning over a new leaf. It doesn't come by just deciding more decidedly and making a more firm resolve and all. It comes by the life that is in Jesus Christ. There's a law there that just cuts through all the other laws and sets a man free. In John 8 and 32, listen to what Jesus says here. And he knew exactly what he was saying. He said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." You know, we could say, what do you mean set you free? We're Americans. We've always been free. "How sayest thou ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily," or "surely, surely." I'm telling you something here I want you to hear. "Surely, surely, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or slave of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." What a promise that is. Oh, folks, this morning, let's realize, I know we have to struggle in this life sometimes. I know that we have to fight against sin, against things that would overwhelm us. Fight the good fight, because Jesus has victory in all of those battles for us. All of our life, he does. Now, that's what the scriptures tell us. That's pretty good news, I think, this morning. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's kind of a bad place to be. A servant, Strong says, is a slave. Literally or figuratively, involuntarily or voluntarily, he's a slave. I don't want to be a slave to sin. I don't want to be a slave to anything, anybody. I just want to be the Lord's man. I want the freedom that comes in the Lord this morning. I don't want to be a slave to my passions of anger, of resentment, of those things that the world is full of lust, of desire for money, of all. I don't want to be a slave to any of that stuff. Folks, the Lord came to set us free, and he came to make us something different than we would be. It's very good news this morning. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not." Now, who's the thief? The devil's the thief in a spiritual sense, isn't he? "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Did you know that that's what Jesus said? "I have come for that purpose. I've came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I want faith to rise in your heart this morning. That the Lord wants us to have faith and he wants us to have life more abundantly. That's a promise. That's something that he said, "I came for this." Let's don't stop until we find that. Now that doesn't mean, folks, that we don't struggle, that we don't have any temptations. But it means that we can win over them all. That we don't have to sin anymore the rest of our life. That's what it means this morning. Oh, I want us to look at ourselves. I know that many here know what this means. You know very well what I'm speaking of this morning. Folks, I also know that almost always in a group, you're going to find a few that don't understand what this means. Folks, we can be free when Jesus Christ sets us free today. You know, Paul in Philippians 3, he said he wanted to be found of him, not having mine own righteousness, 3:9-10, which is of the law. That's why he speaks of the law in the manner, because it never gave life. And here he lived under the law all of his life until he found Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, "Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. There's something that keeps telling you, Paul, that something's wrong. There's something that keeps telling you that there's something a lot better than that. What you've seen, it probably started, I don't know if it started then or before then, but he was there when Stephen was stoned, and he held the coats of those that stoned him. And he watched that grace of God flow out of a man that had been changed, a man that had the Spirit of God living within him. And you see, the Lord began to prick his heart. I want to tell you, I hope the Lord just pricks our hearts this morning. The Lord wants us to live for him in such a way that the thief hasn't stolen our dignity. He hasn't stolen our hope. He hasn't stolen the ability for us to hold our head up because of sin. And Paul said he wanted to be found of him, not having his own righteousness. He knew what that meant. Peter had a little taste of his own self, didn't he? He said, "Lord, I'll go with you all the way, even unto death." And so said they all. But you know what? When it came time, he denied that he even knew the Lord. But folks, the Lord has something better. And the Lord told Peter, "When you're converted, Peter, you strengthen the brethren." Peter, I want you to really be converted. I want you to really be different than you are. Just put your own name in there. The Lord wants you to be different. He wants you to have something there and wrestle for it. Fight for it. Folks, this is the promises of God. Shall we then be humbled by sin? Shall we then not be able to ever have victory in our life? Or will we lay hold on the promises of God? I know it's the promise of God, and I shall have it in my life. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get a hold of God. Oh, this morning, Paul said that I may know him. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection. He didn't want his own works anymore. He wanted the power of God. He wanted the power of Christ in his life and the power of the resurrection of Christ overcoming sin, the grave, all the effects of those things. He wanted that power in his life. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now look here, we read this a minute ago, but I want to take notice again just a little bit. For what the law could not do, this is Romans 8 again, following that he said all there in 7 as if it was him. Maybe it was him in his former life, but certainly it don't match his words afterwards, does it? For the law, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. You know what John said over in 1 John 2 and 1? I'm glad this scripture is there. I want to tell you, I'm glad this is there. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If I'm writing this to you that you don't sin, but if you do, I just want to tell you the answer for that is Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with him. We can come to him. We can be saved because he paid that price. Not because we're worthy of it, but because he paid that price. Now, you know, this morning, I'm thankful for that. But I want to say this. Falling and failing is no fun. So we don't want to hang on to this scripture for our wings. Because people that do constantly fall and fail, it degrades your faith, your hope. It degrades that. It's embarrassing. It brings shame. And then many times there's forgivenesses that have to happen, and all it brings all of that. And he says here, it brings shame, reproach, and it's very discouraging. I've never seen any sin that blesses. Well, you might say, well, that was fun. Yeah, for a short time it was fun. And then it turns into that thing that causes you to miss eternal life with Christ. And you tell me that blesses? I don't think so. It only takes away. It takes away our dignity. If everybody knew what our life was like, would we still have the dignity we have now? It takes away our honor, our trustworthiness, our own self-respect. That's what sin does. It takes away the true joys in a home. Takes away the happiness that God came to bring to our souls this morning. Oh, I just want to challenge us today to see the grace of God and what the Lord came to bring and realize that Jesus Christ came to change the dynamics. Now, I want to give you a couple of verses here. In 2 Peter 1 and 10, you know what? Peter tells us here, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. You know what diligence is? Diligence is a careful following on to give real special care of something, just in plain words. Give diligence. to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Wow. That's pretty promising, isn't it? If you do these things, you won't ever fall. Well, people fall, don't they? People fail. And if we do, Jesus Christ is the answer for that. John tells us that. But folks, let's don't ride on that when there's something so much better. I've never seen falling or failing to be something that blesses the soul. Maybe sometimes people might get too high and lift it up, and it might bless them to humble. But I want to tell you, failing is no friend of ours. And he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know, he told us here in the verse before it, or in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just before that, he had told us all these things to add to our faith. We get saved, we have faith in Christ, the Lord changes us. And then he says, add this stuff to you, to your life. Add virtue. Add brotherly kindness. Add all of these things to your life. Be diligent about it. Add to your experience with the Lord. Don't just get saved and try to motor along and still live your old life. Be changed. Add to your life. Add all the things that God wants us to have. And I want to tell you what will happen. He said, and I believe this is scripture, folks. He said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's a wonderful promise to me. I've always loved that. Now look over here a few more chapters in Jude, the 24th verse. And Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Did you know that the Lord, and he's the only one that can. He said, unto him that is able, he is able. Let's count him able today. Let's decide, I am going to find that walk with the Lord that delivers my soul from sin. And then I can live for God. He said, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Wait a minute. It says to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Him that is able. Now we're not talking about human frailties or faults. We're talking about sin. We're talking about spots on our garment that'll keep us out of heaven. And he said, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Oh, I just want to encourage our faith this morning, folks. The Lord wants to give us that kind of grace today. In John, the first chapter, we find that is a beautiful chapter to read. Read it. I hope you read it lots of times through your life. It's a blessing every time. In the 11th chapter, it said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Wow. He gave them power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you know this is who Jesus Christ is? He's just completely full of grace and truth. And he wants to share it with us. And folks, I want to tell you something. If we struggle with this, then we just need to go deeper. We just need to go deeper with the Lord. It's not in ourselves. It is. I will promise you one thing. It's not the fault of the Lord, because he's full of grace and truth. We need to get a hold of him this morning. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John got a picture of it, didn't he? And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, some people pervert that word grace, and it does mean unmerited favor and those things. But I want to tell you something, grace and truth, grace has in it an element that preserves. It's something that gives life and power to people to believe. Look it up. Read it. Study the Word. I want to tell you, it's more than just unmerited favor. It's grace. It's power from God. It's strength from Him. And He says, the law was given by Moses. It wasn't full of grace and truth, was it? When people heard it, it smote their conscience. They were under condemnation. You know what? The devil will try to put you under condemnation even if you're saved. He'll try to accuse you. I'm not talking about accusation. I'm talking about condemnation. The kind of thing where we have something on us that is wrong, sinful. That's condemnation this morning. Oh, and in our hearts can condemn us. Listen to what Clark says about this John 1 and 12. Gave he power, privilege, he says. Privilege. Clark says privilege, honor, dignity, or right. He who is made a child of God enjoys the greatest privilege which the divine being can confer on this side of eternity. Those who accept Jesus Christ as he is offered to them in the gospel have, through his blood, a right to the sonship. For by that sacrifice, this blessing was purchased. Oh, this morning, take courage today. Remember Titus 2 and 11 to 15. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Folks, we all know the Lord's talked to our hearts. We all know He comes knocking. We all know you talk to sinners out there on the street and you'd be surprised how many of them will say, I think about it every day. How does that work? Because God comes along knocking, knocking. He's not going to condemn people to eternal punishment when He hasn't knocked first. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, not a weird people, a special people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You see, sometimes I think the problem is many times, folks, we want the Lord and we still want the world. Let's just convert completely over to the Lord. No matter what, I'm going to have the Lord. I'm going to have Him. It's my right. It's my privilege. It's what Jesus paid for. And He says that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Folks, a whole new life, a different life. Instead of the old life and the new, we just convert completely over. Now we're zealous of good works. Now we're trying to do God's will. Lord, what can I do today? Lord, what can I do in Your kingdom today? Lord, give me more zeal. Give me a little more strength that I might serve You better. Oh, the Lord wants to do that. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Do you know Paul wrote that to Titus? He wrote that and he said, speak these things with all authority. Don't let any man despise you and stop you from that thing. Oh, this morning, how's it with your soul today? I just want to encourage us. If we're struggling along and we're not able to live right and we fall and we fail, and I know we're gonna wish we had been a little more patient. Lord, I want to talk to my wife more careful and loving all the time. I know we want to reach for higher. I know we want to grow in grace. I believe in that. But folks, when we can't quit sinning, and we curse, and we carry on, and we lust, and we know we've been lusting, and we look, and our whole hope and center of our life is this world, folks, the Lord wants to deliver us from that. And He wants to give us something pure. He wants to give us a pure heart, a clean heart, and He wants us to be able to live for Him. And it comes not by the law, but it comes through the grace of Jesus Christ. So the Lord bless each one of us today. I hope each one of us here sees the Lord's face in peace one day, because He really wants us to see His face in peace. Amen.